is asking the question, are you listening? Now, information is power. We've tried to make that particular point and emphasize it, but information is power, and we live in what's called the information age, where we're being bombarded with information continually, incessantly, on an ongoing basis from all kinds of different directions. But information is power only if it is listened to and heeded. We are reminded of what John wrote in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. It takes more than just reading, just hearing what truth might be. It takes also hearing it. And not reading it only, but hearing it implies they pay attention to it. They believe it. But then it takes more than just learning, listening, and believing what might be truth. It also takes keeping that truth, and that indicates, again, obeying or living by it, implementing it into your life, making the proper applications. So information is power only if it is listened to and heeded, applied properly, and lived by. God's Word is the most important body of information and instruction and knowledge that has ever been written for both the immediate and future well-being of mankind. Someone has said that when you pick up a success manual, and we are bombarded with those in our culture today, that if you look at them carefully, that any of them that is worth much really have drawn their principles, in large part at least, right from God's Word. Now, the authors may not realize that. They may not realize where those principles have come from. But again, if you examine them against what is taught in God's Word, you'll probably find out that, again, in large part at least, they come right from the Bible. Interesting. Interesting indeed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, we look at the broad gamut of what God has given us the Bible for. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So God has given us his word to guide us to salvation, number one. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and again, as we've emphasized many, many, many times, the original language indicates that that means that it is God-breathed. The sense being is that it is God's very word. If you could imagine him speaking those words across his lips, that's the sense of the original language. Now, God is a spiritual being, and I don't know that we could confine him. Certainly we cannot, to what our physical image is of humanity, but that's the sense. We can relate to that as though God is speaking the words himself. That's how we are to take them as they are written in inspired Scripture. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, I think we could assume that the understanding is because it is God's literal word, therefore it is profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it is there to guide us in the right ways according to God's will, number two. Number one, to guide us into salvation. Number two, to guide us in God's will correctly, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So number three, God has given us the Bible to guide us, to equip us to be able to do all of the good works that God would have us to do. So very important understanding of God's Word, the emphasis behind it, not just a good book written down, not just some good ideas that have been compiled by a bunch of different guys over a period of many years, hundreds of years, but it is God's very word, and it is given to us to guide us to salvation, to guide us in his will, and to equip us to live our lives faithfully before him for the rest of our lives on this earth. God's word is very important. But you know, many people do not benefit from God, from the Bible's inherent value, because they simply do not listen to its teachings. They either don't read them, or else, having heard them, or maybe even read them, they just ignore them, do not pay attention to them. The sense is they do not listen to its teachings. In Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, very interesting. And I think we should be able to relate to Jeremiah's ordeal. He was preaching during a period of time when God's people, now specifically God's people, were the ones to whom he was preaching, but we can certainly relate this to the world in general, society in general. He was preaching during a time when even God's people did not want to hear the truth. They rejected his teachings. They hated him in large part because he continued to teach the truth. And ultimately, some of them would have loved to have killed him or done away with him or had him, you know, done away with, because then they would not have had to listen to his teachings any longer. The text says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths." God's word is still God's word. Now, it might be almost 2,000 years since the last bit of it was inspired, that is, God breathed, written down by inspiration, but it is still just as valid, it is still just as truthful, it is still just as authoritative for us today as it was when that last part of Scripture was written down by the last inspired writer. So ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. Again, the condition of finding rest for your souls is living by the teachings of God's word. The text goes on and says, "But they said, we will not walk in it." Now, that's where a lot of people are today. In fact, society in large, I think, is pretty close to that kind of mindset. We're going to do what we want to do. We don't want to hear the rest of this. We don't want to be exposed or have to deal with the teachings of God's word. We're closing our ears to it. We are not going to walk in it. "Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. People do not want to hear. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my word, but rejected it. They have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. They did not listen. They did not want to hear. They would not walk by the teachings of God's word." And again, that's where people in large part are today. They do not want to hear. They do not want to have their minds troubled, their emotions troubled over hearing what God wants them to do and how God wants them to live. So they simply turn their ears off. They remove themselves from settings wherein his word would be taught, and in somehow, out of sight, out of mind, seems to comfort them. But reality is that God is there. His word is still authoritative. It is still active, and God still does expect us to live by those teachings. Eternity is coming. The wise man in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 28, said, "Then they will call on me," writing for God, "but I will not answer," God says. "They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." Why would God turn away from people who are seeking him diligently, who are calling upon him? The text goes on and says, "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." We can ignore the truth at every turn. It does not change the fact that it is the truth. We can stop listening to God's word and then pretend that it has no effect upon us, but it still has effect upon us, because we're going to be judged by the very words that we've stopped listening to, that we don't like, that we're not hearing anymore, that we're not paying attention to. The very words are going to be the basis upon which the Lord will judge us in that final day. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. And then in verse 33, here's the other side of the ledger. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Look at the threefold promise. Whoever listens to me, and going back to Revelation 1 and verse 3, we understand that that means more than just hearing God's teachings. It also means believing and applying them correctly to my life on an active, ongoing basis. In other words, living by them in obedience. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely, will be secure, will be without fear of evil. What a blessing. And isn't that where really most people would love to be today, but they're looking for those kinds of blessings away from God? They're looking in the wrong places. Well, the question for us, as we continue to ask it in this particular series of studies and making different specific applications, is, are you listening? Are you listening to what God's Word says? Particularly, are you listening to what God's Word says about the importance of sound doctrine? Sound doctrine. Are you paying attention to staying true to God's teachings? In Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, we read, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers is giving you." Notice this. "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." When we start adding things to God's word, we're going too far. When we start taking things away from what God's word teaches, we're coming up short. We need to be right there in God's Word, living by those teachings specifically. We cannot improve upon it, either by adding some things that might come from man's wisdom or by taking some things away by saying, you know, that's old-fashioned stuff. We don't live by those kinds of standards any longer. Whenever we add to or we take from, then we're perverting God's Word. And it's no longer God's word in toto. We need to be living by what is taught right there in God's word, the scriptures, the Bible. The hearts of many people are dull. They don't want to listen to God's word any longer. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 13, "I speak to them in parables," Jesus says, "because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will not hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you will not see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn." People don't want to hear a lot of times the truth because it is disturbing. It bothers their conscience. They quickly calculate, I'm not living that way. They conclude that saying that I am in error in how I am living, that I'm living in spiritual and eternal jeopardy, and that's disturbing. Now, if they listen to that, then they have to act upon it. They have to do something about it. So the easiest thing is to simply ignore it, put it out of their minds, don't listen anymore, and then their conscience seems to be salved. Well, actually, it's just a matter of they've turned their conscience off. It's not changed the truth. It's not changed reality. They just simply are not listening. Not listening to God's teachings. But when that happens, especially on a consistent basis, the law of sowing and reaping naturally kicks into play. Think about what we read from God's word along this line. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." When we turn to the application, as we can read it in Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7, the prophet wrote, "They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind." How many times have we thought we could sow our wild oats without somehow reaping the product of wild oats? We want to live a life that is not necessarily in keeping with God's will, but then we want to still be in heaven with God. If we want God's blessings, we need to live by his teachings. We need to live faithfully before him. And that's more than just believing in him. That's believing enough that we live by those teachings. In Proverbs 22 and verse 8, "He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow." Again, the law of sowing and reaping. God gave us the scriptures, and he gave us those scriptures for our instruction, for our learning, for our encouragement, for our guidance. We need to listen and we need to pay attention to what they teach. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. "For whatever things were written before," and that's speaking of Old Testament scriptures even, "were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." Where do we find hope? In God's word. They were written for us, those scriptures, to point us toward and help us learn how we can find and secure that hope eternally. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. "Now all these things happened to them," again speaking of the Israelites in Old Testament times, but the the principle applies to us today. When we continue to read God's word, "all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." We read earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 4 about how God warned the Israelites that "I'm going to give you," and there were a number of texts that basically communicated the same message from God. "I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to give you a land that's going to flow with milk and honey. I'm going to give you cities to possess that you did not have to build. I'm going to give you a land that produces that you did not have to plant the crops initially. This is going to come from me. And I'm going to bless you in these ways. And I'm going to sustain you. And I'm going to make you a great nation. But if you do not continue to live by my will, if you do not continue to follow my teachings, then I'm going to take it away from you. I'm going to let your enemies conquer you. And when you mix with them in the kinds of marriages wherein the believer is marrying the unbeliever, then they're going to become a thorn to your side. I'm going to let you reap the consequences. And in some cases, God was going to outright punish them. They were written for our examples. That happened to Israel. We need to learn the lesson for our lives today. Our obedience, or our lack thereof, to the teachings of God's word identifies whether or not we are true disciples, that is, followers of Christ. Now, I know that many people claim to be a follower of Jesus, to have great faith in Jesus, but they don't live by his teachings. Our obedience to those teachings is a primary indicator of whether we are really followers of him or not. Look at what Jesus said. He said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word," that is, if you live in my word or live by my word, in other words, live your lives by those teachings, "you are my disciples indeed. or you are truly my disciples. The identifier is if you're living by my word. It is through his word that God guides us to salvation. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Notice the emphasis of the word of God in relation to an individual salvation, all of our salvation. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Notice the gospel of your salvation. What is the gospel of your salvation? The word of truth. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. James 1 and verse 18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. The image is brought us to life by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James 1 and verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The emphasis in the word. Salvation is not something that just zaps some people and misses others. Salvation is not something that some people simply find by accident, while others search for it diligently and never can seem to find it. Salvation is there for all of us to find right in God's word. His word teaches us how to come to salvation through Jesus Christ. And our obedience to the truth of God's word is pivotal to our salvation. Peter wrote it along this line in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Purified your souls in obeying the truth, born again through the word of God, the emphasis continually upon God's word in leading us to salvation. Now, since the scriptures are so important to our salvation, we'd better make sure then that we follow the scriptures correctly in truth. That's imperative. Having God's word guide us into the truth that leads us to salvation is more valuable than anything we can possess materially in this world. But if we do not avail ourselves of that blessing, then it's like we're just ignoring it. We're not listening. We're not paying attention to it. It does us no good. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, whichever way the wind is blowing, whatever is the popular mindset of the day, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. Our salvation is tied to our living by sound, and that means correct doctrine. Notice 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. The doctrine simply means the teaching. Continue in them, for doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice again how closely our salvation is linked to our understanding and correctly applying and living by the teachings of God's word. Learning and properly applying sound doctrine is imperative to forgiveness and faithfulness before God. Romans 6, beginning with verse 17, but God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, not some doctrine, but that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. In other words, the truth of God's word. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Sound doctrine exposes the danger of false teaching. Now imagine if you listened to everybody out there who told you in response to your telling them, you know, I've got this stomach ailment. And, you know, I went to the doctor and he said to take this particular medicine and it will cure my ailment. And then old Joe says, you don't need to take that medicine. That's old fashioned. People have been taking that medicine for years and you still got the stomach ailment. Let me tell you what to do. And then old Mary, she said, that's just a bunch of bunk as well. I've got the cure for you. Here's what you need to do. And then Sally says this. And old Henry says something else. And you're getting bombarded with all of these different cures, but you're not paying attention to what the doctor, who knows what he's doing, at least he's supposed to, has told you and the cure that he has given you. You don't pay attention to it. Sound doctrine, sound teaching, sound advice, sound direction, correct teaching exposes the danger of false teaching. Titus 1 and verse 9, in reference to elders, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, correct teaching, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Titus 2 and verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Not just some doctrine, but sound doctrine. Again, correct teaching. Indeed, we must not believe or teach anything, any doctrine, any teaching, that other than that given to us in God's word. That is the key. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, Paul rebuked the Galatian congregations. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there be some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Whenever we change the teachings of God's word, we have perverted those teachings. But even if we, Paul goes on to say, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. God's way is the only way. And Paul says, somebody's come along and they fed you a bunch of baloney, and you are accepting it. And it's leading you away from the truth of God's word. It's leading you away from faithfulness to God. If anyone preaches any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now that is equivalent to be condemned. In 1 Timothy 1 in verse 3, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, only God's teaching. And only correctly at that. Not living by the true doctrine of Christ results in our condemnation. As we read in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in, live by the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now that may sound harsh to some people, but that is the way of truth, and it is God's way, communicated to us clearly in his word. A key reason why we need to be diligent to maintain sound doctrine is to guard against error. Paul charged Timothy, as Paul seemingly was about to face death for preaching the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead and is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So as Paul was ready to face death, he told Timothy, you keep preaching the word. Preach it correctly. Preach it continually. because that's the best way to keep people, that's the best way to keep Christians from turning away from the truth of God's teachings. It's the best way to keep people faithful. It's the best way to guard against false teaching. So important is it that we maintain doctrinal purity, that we're taught to withdraw from one who teaches anything other than the true doctrine of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself, Paul writes. Do not let them have a place of influence in your life. Are you living your spiritual life by the sound doctrine of God's word? Are you living by the true teachings of Scripture? Have you taken his instruction as to salvation and repented of your sins, confessed your faith, and been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, at which point you found salvation in him? Have you done that? If you've done that, have you lived by those teachings consistently, daily, on an ongoing basis? Your soul's destiny hangs literally in the balance. You need to pay attention. You need to think. Clearly, it makes a huge difference, what you believe and what you teach and what you practice doctrinally. The question for each of us is, are you listening? Are you listening? Or are you just trying to do it your way? If you need to come, won't you come right now as we stand together and sing?